And you'll find that, for example, some bum on the street, now you're a rich doctor, whatever, he's calling you poor. Now, the intelligent thing to do is just walk away. This is a bum. Don't start arguing with him. No, you a bum. I'm not a bum. I'm not poor. You poor. No, that's very foolish. But you'll find that it's very tempting. This no life, this low life, have nothing is going to tell me. Who, I have all this money and this, the people in Atlanta, everyone knows my name. I have my own 15% of the city or what have you, and he's gonna call. I'm gonna tell him. No, it's very, very tempting. And we, in the world, I mean, every society, every country, I'm sure they say, don't stoop down to their level, don't belittle yourself. But the majority of people are tempted to engage the foolish people. And you find this throughout the Quran, and you find this throughout the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they turned away from foolish talk and from the people who are foolish, because engaging them will do nothing but cause you to stoop to their level. So the first quality is the quality of humility and the quality of not engaging the foolish people. Another way to understand this verse, if they are addressed by the foolish people, they leave them uncontested. Salaman, meaning that they don't even put up a fight. They don't even argue with them. Okay, I'm poor. Okay, not that I say I agree that I'm poor, or I agree that I'm ignorant, or whatever the insult may be. But I just leave them uncontested. I don't even engage them. It's very, like I said, very difficult quality to possess. But inshallah, something that we should work on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And they are the people who spend their nights before their Lord prostrate and standing. So if we want to acquire some of the attributes of the Ibad al-Rahman, then we should use our night, at least a part of our night, in prayer, prostrate and standing. So here you see the beginning of the clear thing that I mentioned, that they are focusing on the hereafter. That not only do they, in their day, are they people of humility, they're people who do not engage the foolish people, they're people of prayer, but they work not only in their day, but they work in their nights also. A very beautiful description, if you think about it, that they're working day in and day out. And this is the job of being a Muslim, is a 24/7 job. And just as Satan works 24/7 against us, we must also work 24/7 against him. Sometimes we take vacations, meaning if we go to a certain city or in Ramadan, we start to work, or outside of Ramadan, then we take a vacation. And this, of course, is wrong. And we should be like the Ibad al-Rahman. We are working constantly. Even though we're just came back from a hard day of work, or we've done so much in the morning, we just gave sadaqah or what have you. But at night, either before we sleep or after we sleep, we are spending part of the night standing and prostrate. Be reminded also that this doesn't mean that you have to spend 4 hours a night in prayer. That's not the case. But if you are just spending two rak'ahs every night in tahajjud, then inshallah you will acquire this precious description of the Ibad al-Rahman, and that is that they are people who spend their night in prayer, a portion of their night in prayer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا صَرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. And that is that, and they say, and perhaps this is in their prayer, while they are standing at night and while they are in prostration, our Lord, avert from us the torment of hell. Verily, its torment is ever inseparable, permanent punishment. So they understand that hellfire is real. And this is something that we believe in. We started by talking about paradise, and this is the ultimate goal. But also there's hellfire. And hellfire is an inseparable punishment. It's a punishment that is severe, a punishment that everyone wants to escape. It is the, I guess, for lack of better words, our greatest nightmare and the greatest punishment and the greatest failure that we could achieve, or not achieve, but the greatest failure that we could have is to enter hellfire. So this is on the mind of the Ibad al-Rahman, and they want to avert this. Just like their focus on paradise, their focus on not entering the hellfire. And this concept of hellfire is very important too. And it's the constant reminder of hellfire is very important for us to keep us from doing those bad things. Being reminded of hellfire, inshallah, will help us hold our tongue against the foolish people. Will help us be more humble when we think about hellfire, and especially since we know that many of the inhabitants of hellfire will be those arrogant people, and will be, and the people of paradise will be the poor and low life people. Low in the standards of what people look at you. You don't have how the world looks at you or regards you, and you will find that due to certain people's misunderstanding of hellfire, that they have no limits. For example, you'd find a lot of times in the television programs now, they say, "I'll see you in hell." Or these rap songs, they talk about party in hell. And they really do, I believe. At least I believe that they think that it's going to be fun there. And paradise is going to be boring. So due to if your concept of hellfire is like this, it's a place of bad people, but it's more exciting than paradise, then, of course, your actions are going to be affected by that. And if you think that paradise is a place where it's just, we're plucking the harp and it's going to be boring, this is what people think. And they even say it, evil or good is stupid. And that does make sense to them if they believe that, if you do good, then you not only do you get no reward in this life, but you get a dull life in the hereafter. Of course, this is an old idea, but it's an idea, and of course we've seen many cartoons and many programs based upon this. It's an idea that really is believed by people. Many people really think that hellfire is not all that bad. But the real believers are terrified of the hellfire. So this is very important to understand that if we are the Ibad al-Rahman, if we're going to have this description, we should be fearful of the hellfire. And we should ask Allah constantly to remove us from this punishment, meaning to let us escape that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And whoever escapes the hellfire and entered into the paradise, then faqad faz." And this is the true success. This is the true success. So we should have this fear. Not only should we have this love, And this love for paradise and thinking about paradise motivates us and encourages us to do good, but the fear of hellfire should also be a motivation to be a better Muslim, be an upright Muslim, to stay away from sins. And then the verse goes on to say, "Innaha sa'at mustaqarran wa muqama." Evil indeed is it as an abode and as a place to dwell. And no doubt that if anyone enters hellfire, then this is a terrible abode. And it's even said that a man will be dipped into hellfire, just enough to qualify as a dip. And this man will be a man who had the most blessings. I mean, he was like had more blessings than he had a good life, meaning materialistically wise or material wise. But just being entered into the hellfire, just enough to qualify as entering, will make him forget all his happiness, all the blessings, all those cars and jewelry or whatever he had, all of it will be forgotten. So indeed, this is an evil place. And we need to understand that this is an evil abode. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And those who when they spend are neither extravagant nor miserly, but hold a middle way between the two. You'll find that the vast majority of people are at the two extremes. Either they're just a spendthrift. They're just constantly spending. Whatever they see, just like what the sheikh mentioned, they don't even have the money, but they're buying it. And you'll see there's millions of people in this country, let alone other places, who are affected by this disease. They're in debt. And they'll forever be in debt. And then you have those who are on the other extreme, are miserly and cheap. And subhanAllah, they have all this money. You hear about these stories of people dying with close to $1 million in their bank account, but they live like a poor person. So this person, Allah knows best, I mean, he doesn't have Islam in his life, and he's doomed for the hellfire. And in this life, he had these blessings, but he prohibited himself from enjoying it. He had all this money, but he wanted to save it and save it. And no doubt, this is something that's a fitna. And I will even confess that in front of you, that you get, I remember like when I was very young, you got $100. Like, wow, man, $100. And you don't want to see it go down to 99. You don't want to see it go to 95. You want to have it 150, 100, 200. It's a big, big, it's a huge temptation. And the thing that's interesting, the more money you have, the harder it is to spend. You become more miserly. And that's, you say, that can't be. I met a brother in Riyadh. Actually, my father-in-law was telling about this brother, that he had so much wealth that he would have to pay close to about 5 million reals, or about maybe $1 million and something. That tells you how much money he has. This is only in savings, only 2.5% of his savings that he has for a year. And he told his accountant to, when you pay zakah, make sure you don't tell me. He made his accountant pay the zakah, and he didn't want to know. He said, don't tell me. Because of the fact that it's so tempting. For example, he's going to pay $1 million. Now, the guy obviously has, what, 20 million, 30 million. He has a lot of money. But $1 million is still a lot to give away. You just give away $1 million. That's still a lot no matter what. So it's amazing. And what I'm trying to say is most people, they either are just miserly or they are spendthrift. They're just constantly spending. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believer by the way he spends his money, saying that the way you spend your money reflects directly on your iman. And throughout the Quran also, you'll find, such as in Surah Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing us by not, I mean, don't stretch your hand out, and you're just constantly giving, and then at the end you have nothing. Or you keeping your hand tied to your neck. Either, I mean, you see this throughout the Prophet's advice also. Don't try to have a balance. And no doubt it's difficult. Now, like I said, I'll be the first to confess that. It's difficult. Even with the little money that you may have, you know, I got $1,000. Man, if I save up more, I can do this. It's very, very easy. Or just the opposite. You got all these, you go to these malls and everything glitters, and you see these, especially now they're making all these ad 2-day sale. You know, you can get this for $54. Normally it's $300. You're like, man, you know, maybe I can do this, or maybe I can go to eBay and sell it, or, you know, you're constantly being lured into this, either being holding back too much or spending too much. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believer with their greatest description. A description that we probably don't, or we wouldn't think or recognize as the greatest. And it is that, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ to the آخر الآية. And it is, and those who invoke not any other God along with Allah.